Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, and this is The Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, August 22nd, 2012. Once or twice a monsoon season, we'll get kind of a all-day kind of morning rain like this, and today happens to be one of those days. Real soaky kind of rain, which is nice, but some people are actually saying maybe they've had enough of the monsoon. Well, we really do need the rain, so let's say we won't comment on that. The home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're live streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. You can hear our programs anytime, anywhere on buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and gvnews.com. That's the website for the Green Valley News and Sojourita Sun. They now have a link to the Buckmaster Show on their homepage. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We'll get things rolling with Dr. Don Gates. Dr. Gates will give us an update on the just-concluded campaign, which was focusing on Pima County's war on obesity. 20 minutes past the hour, renowned comet discoverer Dr. David Levy will join us. 30 past the hour, our blogger beat features David Safir of Blog for Arizona. Then we'll close out the show with Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us anytime on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, or you can submit a question using our Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster. Well, since 2010, Pima County has spent nearly $16 million in federal stimulus money to try to correct the county's obesity problem. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Don Gates. Dr. Gates is the project manager for the two-year Communities Putting Prevention to Work project. Dr. Gates, Don, good to see you.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
How serious is this obesity problem, in your opinion?
In my opinion, nationwide, obesity is the greatest public health risk that the United States is going to face in the coming decades.
And why is that?
Well, we've seen staggering increases in both childhood and adult obesity rates. Obesity is tightly connected to diabetes, cardiovascular disease, several means of mortality and morbidity. But it also has a great impact on our quality of life, our length of life, how long we can spend active, pleasant time with our families, with our loved ones, how productive we are at work, but also greatly impacts our economics. The United States spends about $147 billion every year on obesity-related health care. That's money that's not going to local businesses, that's not being saved for our child's education, that's not being used in productive fashion for ourselves.
And what could be done, and what did you attempt to do to kind of reverse this problem? And again, it's pretty difficult if we're talking about one obese person to kind of – you could monitor their project or maybe even a room full of people. But when you're dealing with a county and tens of thousands of people who've got weight problems, it's hard to really measure success, isn't it?
Absolutely. So we've known for decades that the keys to a healthy weight are diet and exercise. And in the decades that we've known that, we've continued to see obesity rates climb. The driving force behind Communities Putting Prevention to Work was to help put into place policies and systems and environmental changes that make it easier for you and I to make healthy decisions in our life. At the end of the day, personal decisions about what we eat and how much exercise we get are the deciding factors. And so the community has, I believe, an obligation to provide the opportunity to make healthy choices. So in working with partners throughout the county, including Carondelet, the Community Food Bank, the United Way, YMCA, University of Arizona, and Boys and Girls Club, we worked to create systems and environmental changes that made healthy choices easier.
This money came from the Centers for Disease Control.
And Prevention, correct.
And this started – I think you first got involved the end of 2009. The program now – is the program officially over?
Correct. It was a two-year funded program, ran from March of 2010. So in 2009 was the application and preparation process.
Let's talk about what has been accomplished.
So in Pima County, We worked with, as I mentioned, the Community Food Bank, for instance, and have built over 500 new gardens, counting both personal gardens but also community gardens, an urban farm setting that'll be responsible for up to 500,000 servings of fruits and vegetables being grown here in our community every year. Not only does that provide us better food from which to choose for our families, but it also provides an economic incentive to the people participating in these gardens as they can sell their surplus produce at farmers markets or provide it to their friends and neighbors. We worked heavily with schools across Pima County, instituting over 150 wellness councils and helping schools develop nutrition education programs, providing them with produce bars to increase the amount of fresh fruits and vegetables available for their students, and even working on something called structured recess, which helps return recess to an active time instead of time spent with children simply sitting under the trees texting on their phones.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody has researched the fact that as we have done away with recess, we have seen an obesity problem increase. I think there's probably a correlation there.
It seems like that's a reasonable course to pursue. Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if any research has been done that way, but it just seems like take away the research, recess, and the exercise, and the kids are going to not be as healthy.
There's no question that children today are less active in the past, are not reaching the CDC recommended levels of activity on a daily basis.
How about the menus in the schools? You were saying kind of try to change those, make them a little more healthy.
A number of the food service directors from across multiple districts came together in a coalition to address how can they increase the health and nutritional value of their food while still paying attention to the very serious economic crisis that is being faced. They have to maintain cost, but how can they find ways to improve not just the nutritional value of the food but the palatability? Because the most nutritious food in the world doesn't do any good if the student simply drops it in the trash can. So they worked to exchange information, ideas, and build on what had been successful for them to identify things as broad as, you know, different whole wheat crusts for pizzas, but what foods seem to be well consumed by students.
Don Gates is with us. Dr. Don Gates, the project manager for the just concluded 2-year Communities Putting Prevention to Work project, and the target of the project was to try to make a dent in this obesity problem. Some signs of short-term success, I guess, can already be measured when you're talking about your target audience, correct?
Right. So very, very particularly the outreach campaign, the This Is My Healthy or My Healthy Pima campaign, was aimed to increase awareness of the need to make healthier choices, to be more active, to eat better. Following the completion of the media outreach, an assessment and evaluation was done of the intent or the ideation of the target audience. Are they more likely to be healthy? Are they more likely to eat better? And we did discover that there were significant improvements in the intent to be active, particularly among caregivers of children, particularly those with multiple children, who are arguably the most important audience. So I believe that there was certainly some success there.
And it is difficult to measure long-term success because that could take years, but at least you are trying to lay a foundation that's healthy.
Absolutely. As you mentioned in the open, it might be conceivable to see a significant weight change in a given individual or even a very small group of individuals in 6 weeks. But when we're talking about population change across a population of 1 million, like we have in Pima County, some of the improvements that we've made we'll see in 5 years, 10 years, but the built environment and the infrastructure changes will continue to benefit us for 20 plus years.
Long term, some of those gardens you mentioned will have years of impact in
Absolutely.
The community, right?
Absolutely. The Community Food Bank's Las Milpitas de Cottonwood urban farm is a fantastic example that they are continuing to provide access to not only small community gardeners like you or I, but also to farm producers, small local farmers who need some assistance or some technical advice or help in how to process some of their fruits and vegetables.
Getting back to some of our major health concerns here in Pima County, Don Gates, the Pima County Community Health Needs Assessment released their report last Friday, and this was officials from Tucson's nonprofit hospitals. As part of a requirement under a new federal health law to identify really the top 10 issues, health issues. And when you look at these issues, cardiovascular disease, the link there certainly with obesity, you have stroke, diabetes, respiratory issues, cancer. So obesity can play a role in all of that.
Every single one of them, absolutely.
Where do you go from here?
Well, it's a continuing process. You know, we want to sustain the efforts that have been made in attention to health and wellness at our schools, at our work sites, where we live, work, pray, and play. We continue to advocate for broad policy changes at the government level, but also at the corporation or at the work site level, to make changes in how they do things that encourage healthy choices. You know, we're not interested in dictating terms. We're not interested in
being the food police.
Absolutely. or following the path perhaps of Mayor Bloomberg in limiting soda sizes. But we do very strongly advocate for a continued need to the opportunity to make healthy choices, promoting parks, promoting bicycling and walking paths, multi-use destinations, things that not only increase our health and wellness, but actually improve property values and make the county a more thriving, vibrant place to live.
You mentioned architects actually got involved.
Absolutely. The Drachman Institute at the University of Arizona, which is a school for architecture and landscape architecture, were very involved in helping design and develop new play areas, new pocket parks, or what are called green nodes, very small places in neighborhoods where people can play. Shade structures, outdoor classrooms, walking paths, all these sorts of elements that greatly increase the attractiveness of outside activity.
Don Gates, thank you very much, project manager for the newly concluded two-year Communities Putting Prevention to Work project. Good luck to you, and sounds like you accomplished quite a bit with this project. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much.
Coming up now on 12:17 on The Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. World-renowned comet discoverer David Levy is next. Stay with us.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Well, 21 now on the Buckmaster Show on this midweek edition. The Arizona Daily Star's Centennial Salute to Science in Arizona has been running all summer. Each day for 100 days, the Star has recorded a milestone in the state's scientific history. Last week, the Star profiled Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, the former science editor of Parade magazine and now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky science education organization. Dr. Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He's discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. David is an Emmy Award winning writer. He's the author or editor of 35 books and other products. And David, did you bring the rain with you from Nova Scotia?
Hi, Bill. I sure did. We had no rain while I was gone, and the day I came back, we had rain, and we had rain yesterday, and we had a lot of rain this morning. Before we go on anymore, however, Bill, I really wish to apologize to you and your listeners that I simply forgot about last month's appointment. I knew I could give you 1,000 excuses, but I just forgot, and I'm really sorry.
No problem, and it actually gave me a little bit of good experience in scrambling, as they say, to fill.
Well, let's hope that I won't give you the opportunity for that experience again.
Yeah. What were you doing up in Canada?
Well, I was visiting my dear friends Roy and Gertrude Bishop. Roy is one of the most intelligent people living on this planet. He is an expert on so many aspects of physics, not the least of which are the physics behind the highest tides in the world would are right at his doorstep on Minas Basin. And he has photographed over 50-foot difference between high tide and low tide in the nearby community at Hansport. And it's just incredible. One of the exciting things is that when it's low tide, the last time we were there and my wife was with me, Wendy called it the big brown nothing. What is that? It's the big brown nothing. And Roy and I have been joking about that ever since.
Is there a particular reason why that area, and I think it's the Bay of Fundy, is so renowned for these astronomical high and low tides?
Yes, I could give you an answer in one word since we're on a time schedule today, and that word is resonance. And the Gulf of Maine and Fundy system works in a perfect resonance. So it's almost like you're in the bathtub and you sort of slosh the water. And just as the water comes back, you push it again and it sloshes some more. And it gets higher and higher. And so this is why the tides are so high in Nova Scotia at the Bay of Fundy and Minas Basin. It's just incredible to experience that.
David, were you in town to see that really nice piece that Tom Beal of the Arizona Daily Star, his profile on you?
No, I didn't. I'm going to have to look it up as soon as we're off the air.
Yeah, I think it was August the 16th that that appeared in the Arizona Daily Star, and they were talking about Shoemaker Levy 9 in the article, and Tom asked the question in the piece, how big a deal was it? And he quotes the website of NASA and the Jet Propulsion Lab as saying it's an extraordinary millennial event. So I guess it's a once-in-a-thousand-year event.
Yeah.
Maybe more, huh?
I would say once in 1,000 to 2,500 years. That's what Gene said shortly before his death in 1997. But that was really incredible, Bill. I'm glad you were a part of that and you were able to see it. We were able to talk about it together. And it's one of the most thrilling experiences of my little life.
Well, why don't you summarize how big a deal was it?
Well, when we discovered that comet, it was as if the comet grabbed the Shoemakers and me and tore us off the Earth and brought us into orbit with them about Jupiter for those 2 years. It totally disrupted our lives, and it was a lot of fun to boot. We had no idea until the first impact that we would see anything. And I think the thing that I remember more than anything else is Gene staring at this email message that had just been thrust in front of him, and he stands up and he says, "You mean they saw plumes?" And we just sort of tore out to see those images, and I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that week, Bill. That was just incredible.
David, is there a particular website that folks can go and kind of get those images? Many people probably have not seen those images. Where would you suggest?
Well, I think the best website, Bill, is the NASA Shoemaker-Levy 9 site, which you can Google and get to. And I think they have pretty much all of the images from that impact. And that's where I would recommend they go. Actually, if they go to my own website at jarnac.org, they can actually get an image of the comet before the impact taken by the Hubble Space Telescope. One of the things that I'd like to say is that of all the things that we experienced during that time, perhaps the best is what we didn't experience, and that is the fact SL9 was a part of a long series of wonderful observations that have happened over the millennia. And I'll take us back very briefly to the time of William Shakespeare, when he looked up at the night sky, almost no doubt of that, in the 1570s and saw Tycho's supernova. And years later, probably wrote about it in Hamlet, at the opening lines of Hamlet. But what I really like is how he describes the sky. And even though I'm your science editor, I think of all the people that have written about the sky, none does it better than William Shakespeare. He writes, "This goodly frame, the earth, this most excellent canopy, the air, look you, this brave or hanging firmament, this majestical roof fretted with golden fire." What a description that is of the night sky, fretted with golden fire.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, the night sky is going to be a little cloudy, so that pretty much cuts out your nighttime viewing, doesn't it?
Well, I haven't given up yet because sometimes it clears up before dawn, and I'm still hoping to get out there before dawn to see what's doing. We had a very successful Adirondack astronomy retreat this year in the Adirondacks, not far from Plattsburgh, and it was absolutely filled to the brim, both sessions this year.
Tell me a little bit about what we should look for in the late summer and early fall night sky right now, David
Levy.
Well,
there is kind of a meteor shower coming on the 1st of September, the Alpha Origids. They tend to radiate near the star Capella, from near the star Capella, and that's something. We have an eclipse coming up at the end of the year, pre-dawn shallow eclipse of the moon that I'm going to try to see. And a lot of other things. But on any night, if you just go outside and look up at the night sky, I think Wendy enjoys more than anything else just making that first step off our back porch and looking up and seeing the fantastic Milky Way with Scorpius looking like a dandelion beginning to set in the southwest. That is just that to me is what it's all about.
Okay, David. David Levy, always a pleasure. Welcome back to Tucson from your trip to Nova Scotia, and we'll look forward to talking with you in September. Thanks a lot, David.
Okay,
it's always a pleasure.
Thank you,
All right, coming up now on 12:30 on The Buckmaster Show. This is our midweek edition. David Safir is going to be with me talking about politics. David from Blog for Arizona. It's going to be our monthly segment, Blogger Beat, as we continue.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Fed officials have been speaking with increased urgency about the need to provide more help for a weak U.S. economy. That's according to the minutes of their most recent meeting, which was held several weeks ago. The minutes of the meeting just released this afternoon. Differences between Mitt Romney and running mate Paul Ryan on abortion and other hot-button social issues are on display today, but Ryan is brushing aside the differences, telling a Pennsylvania TV station that if the Republican ticket wins in November, Romney will be the one setting the policy. A federal investigator says a coal train that derailed in Maryland was going the authorized speed, 25 miles per hour, with the engineer in training at the controls. Two 19-year-old college students were killed around midnight on Monday. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including five major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTrans, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Noble Hops Gastropub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than two dozen on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
back to the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of the program is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can learn more about Splendido. They're going to buy you a free breakfast at the Hilton Tucson East on Thursday, September the 20th at 9:30 in the morning. You can RSVP and say you heard about this on the Buckmaster Show. If you're interested, call 762-4090, 762-4090, splendidotucson.com. It's time for our monthly blogger beat report on the Buckmaster Show. David Safir is here from Blog for Arizona. David, how are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
You're a retired teacher, high school teacher. I think you spent 30 years or so in the trenches. You were listening very intently as we were talking about the obesity problem at the top of the show, and I was mentioning that I don't know about exact research on this, but it would just seem that cutting out research or recess has not helped the obesity problem.
Well, I was glad to hear that. A guy I know in the city, a friend, Steve Gall, has been working a lot on this structured recess, and I don't claim to be a health expert, so I won't say what it does in terms of obesity, though it's kind of obvious that it's going to help any kind of physical exercise. But I do know that there's reasonably good research that shows that kids benefit academically from that 15 minutes out in the on the schoolyard, especially when, as Dr. Gates said, they're not simply texting, but when they're actually doing things. And the structured recess with structured games is really helpful with that, besides the fact that it seems almost cruel to pen kids up all day in a classroom, you know, chained to their desk basically without allowing them outside to run and play and jump and do the things that kids' bodies want to do.
How much money – was this an economic decision in the educational community to cut out research – I keep saying research. It's recess. What was the reasoning there?
The first time I saw it in Portland, Oregon was when the new superintendent came in and he says, we've got to get our scores up. We've got to get better academically. So we're going to cut out research. And
I'm saying it too.
Got to cut out recess.
Yes.
And I didn't see anything that had to do with economics. It's just a kind of a linear one-way thinking that if we spend more time with our nose in our books, we're automatically going to do better, forgetting about that brain fog that goes in when you've done it too long, especially when you're an active young body in elementary school.
And some of the TUSD schools that have recess, I think the grades have been improving there.
Well, my friend Steve Gall says that. I haven't had a chance to research it, but he says that the state scores have improved well in the schools that have had the structured recess. I think it's a pretty obvious idea there should be recess. How structured it should be, that I'm definitely not an expert on, but you've got to let the kids out of the classroom at regular intervals during the day. You have to.
David Safir is with us from Blog for Arizona. Primary day, David, as you well know, is Tuesday. And I want to begin because keeping with our educational theme, the measure mandating a dedicated source for education, Ken Bennett, Secretary of State, fought this measure all the way to the Arizona Supreme Court. I see now Doug Ducey, the state treasurer, is now leading the effort to defeat this. It would seem that this is a very popular measure based on – I'm basing that on the number of signatures that were provided on the petitions, on the initiative.
I would say that both Bennett and Ducey are absolutely wrong on this. We are – without question, the lowest funding per student, or if we're not the lowest, we're 49th in the country. This measure would put money into education. It's so worded that the 2011 and 2012 base educational budget from the state would remain, and this money would be put on top of it. So it can't simply be rolled into the tax base. It won't be a new tax because it will go in the day that the 3-year 1-cent tax base tax increase goes out. So it'll be keeping the status quo. We need to have more money in the classroom, in the schools. And people who argue, well, it's not all going to go in the classrooms, it's going to go to the wrong schools. I'm sorry, when we're $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 below the national average in spending, to bring it up a bit is absolutely critical, absolutely essential. There's no question.
And Ken Bennett and Doug Ducey both have been mentioned as possible gubernatorial candidates in the coming cycle for the governor's race, which will be 2014. I would think that it's not I don't really know who they're preaching to. Maybe a very conservative base that feels that any tax is a bad tax.
My sense is, and this is a national thing, and we're seeing it, I think, with Mitt Romney too, that all these people figure that to get through the primaries and possibly even to get through the election, they have to have a loyal base. And these days, the base starts at the Tea Party and works to the right in the Republican Party. It's just sad that that's happening, and I think that they may be marginalizing themselves. We're going to see in November whether they are, but to play so hard to that base to get them on your side is, it seems, critical to get that 10 or 20% out to the polls in the primaries, and then afterwards you do what you have to do. Either you run to the center, or like Romney, you choose a Paul Ryan who actually gives you more credentials on the right. It's just, it's an odd time in the Republican Party. And Arizona, which seemed to be leading this, it sounds like the rest of the country in lots of ways are catching up. Bennett, who used to be one of the less doctrinaire conservatives in the Republican Party, is now trying to, I think, show his conservative credentials. And that's part of what's going on here.
The Dr. Matt Hines, State Representative Matt Hines, and Congressman Ron Barber primary is interesting. We touched on this on our Monday political face-off here on the Buckmaster Show with Paul Eckerstrom, who, as you know, David, has been very active, and he's the current vice chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. How do you see – Paul, by the way, felt that this is really going to hurt Dr. Hines in his future endeavors in the Democratic Party. What do you think?
I don't know that it's going to hurt him. I think I'm not a very good prognosticator, but I think Ron Barber is going to win this pretty handily. But the reason Matt Hines left in, and I know Matt, I think he's a very, very good guy and a very thoughtful guy, very, very smart. He stayed in because imagine what would have happened if Barber lost to Jesse Kelly and he had to mount another campaign without another Democrat in there. The Democrat had to be in the November race before the earlier election was over. So Matt Hines stayed in for that. He's putting in a good run. He's trying hard to do what he's doing. And to be honest, I doubt if it will hurt his political future, though I can't honestly say.
We always like to address the Buckmaster Show listeners on our live line. This caller, David Safir, did not want to go on the air. However, the question has been put up on my screen by our wonderful producer, Rosemary Brandt. Perhaps you can comment on this, David. What is the comparison between a teacher's salary in Arizona with an average wage earner? Do you have any idea on that?
I will rephrase the question because it's an unfair question. What is the teacher salary comparable to someone with a similar education level, someone who has a bachelor's, who has 5 years, who has a master's degree? At that, I'm not going to say absolutely. I would say it's somewhat less. And in today's economy, it may not be because there are a lot of people who are working below their educational attainment level. But if you compare them to other people who have spent as long educating themselves as opposed to someone who has a job based on a high school education or something like that, teachers are absolutely, definitely not overpaid. If teachers were so overpaid, why is it that so many teachers leave the profession after 2 or 3 or 4 years? I hear so often that teaching is too easy and teachers are overpaid and they have all these wonderful pension benefits. I'm not sure why such a cushy job would have such a high turnover rate, except that if you've never been in the classroom, it's an extremely stressful and extremely difficult job to do well. There's no way around that. Any teacher will tell you that.
And actually, we're going to be picking up on this whole subject with Dr. Robert Hendricks, who is the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, after we are finished with David Safir. And it's interesting, David, because in the four major cities, the top teachers leave schools at about the same rate as the least successful teachers.
This is a difficult problem. I would have to go longer than I possibly can. But
and I have another political question for you off topic, but you want to finish up
quickly. Let me just say that when budgets are cut by people who want to cut budgets, that's when teachers have to be let go. And then they complain that the best teachers are being let go. Don't cut the budgets. We won't be letting teachers go. Teachers will leave when they wish and we'll add more teachers to the pot. It's a loaded question, I think.
Getting back to the primary with Dr. Hines and Ron Barber, you feel that Barber will emerge from this and most likely then will go on to face Colonel Martha McSally. That's going to be an interesting race.
It will be. And Barber's going to have the advantage of having a slightly larger Democratic population, electoral population in the new district. So I think that that's going to go well for him. I certainly hope that Barber or if it's Hines by chance win that because I think that they have the values and the ideas that I agree with and will vote as in ways that I think will be better. McSally, who seems like a very intelligent person, I believe is far too conservative and I don't agree with most of her stance on most of the issues.
David Safir has been my guest on the Blogger Beat. Where can folks reach you and blog for Arizona?
You can put in www.blogforarizona.com, or if you can't remember that, just put in blog and Arizona in Google, and it's going to come up.
David, thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push on toward 1250 on this Wednesday edition on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. There is so much to do this late summer and fall up in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, which is sponsoring this portion of the Buckmaster Show. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, there's a free music festival returning to Silver City the weekend of September 7th. It's called Pick-a-Mania. And then the 8th annual Gila River Festival is September 13th through the 26th in Silver City. Lots of great places to stay, including Georgetown Cabins, Manzano's RV Park, and Little Toad Creek Inn. For more information, visit them on the web, southwestnewmexico.org. A recent editorial in USA Today urged not to let the best teachers get away as financially strapped school districts lay off teachers this summer. Joining us now to discuss this is Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He is a former Arizona Top School Superintendent of the Year when he was heading up the Flowing Wells School District. Dr. Hendricks, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill.
The USA Today editorial says that about the only upside to teacher cutbacks is the opportunity to cut out low-performing teachers and leave the best talent in the classroom. But in too many districts, that's not happening. Why is that?
Well, I think the evidence, long-standing evidence in practice, is that schools abide by the concept of the last teachers in, the first teachers out. And as we begin to accelerate the number of layoffs, that layer is no longer just first-year teachers. Oftentimes it's second-year, third-year teachers as well. And when you get that deep into the talent pool, you're going to lose some really, really good teachers.
And that editorial in USA Today says that in four major cities, the top teachers leave schools at about the same rate as the least successful teachers, according to a study released by a nonprofit educational advocacy group formerly known as the New Teacher Project. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's a great deal of accuracy to their report. Actually, there's two reports. The first report they did 3 years ago brought this to our attention, and then there's a second report that I think probably promoted this editorial, which suggests that in looking at the highest achieving teachers based on test scores, there's a very large population of teachers out there that are not being recognized. Financially, as well as in some cases when they suggest that their financial plight is such that they can't continue in teaching, the schools simply say, "That's really unfortunate. Sorry to see you go."
There was also an editorial, kind of an opposing view editorial from the National Education Association, the headline put students first. What's the opposing view to this?
Well, I think it's typically the union position is that everyone needs to be treated equally, and the argument in the editorial is that in many businesses that certainly isn't the case, but it has always been the case in education, and we have this lockstep compensation package, which essentially rewards any teacher in a system based on the number of years that they've taught, as well as whatever education they have accumulated. And that really isn't calibrated to take into consideration teachers who are performing better or teachers who are mediocre or, in fact, teachers who are poor. They're all treated with the same schedule.
Dr. Robert Hendricks is with us, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. We're talking about teachers and teacher cutbacks. You know, in other professions, Dr. Hendricks, treating all workers equally, regardless of talent, would be kind of inconceivable. But the teaching profession is almost an anomaly when it comes to that, isn't it?
It is. And I don't see a whole lot of difference, even though there has been a great deal of talk about teacher evaluation systems and how we can change that and the elimination of tenure. There's still this sort of time-honored traditional grip on a salary schedule that we can certainly understand for people who want to benefit from that. They don't want to see that system changed. And even to the extent sometimes where there has been issues of supply and demand, for example, very, very difficult to acquire competent, qualified math teachers or science teachers. I know some districts have tried to tailor their schedule to provide additional incentives and additional salaries to those people who are in those highly sought areas. They've taken some flack for that because, again, there's this time-honored tradition that everyone ought to be treated equally, everyone ought to be paid the same based on this lockstep schedule.
I want to go off topic a little bit from teachers, but this still does really affect them. I see that school dress codes aren't just for students anymore. The Wichita School District in Kansas is just one, Dr. Hendricks, of a growing number in the nation cracking down on teacher apparel.
Hard to legislate. It's a hard thing to legislate. I mean, it probably in the broadest sense, you would like to have some kind of operational policy that says that teachers should come to work dressed in a professional way. The problem is, what does that really mean? And when I see what some districts have done, and I don't see a lot of them getting this particular particularly minute in their detail, but some are talking about tattoos, some are talking about excessive piercings. There are a lot of issues there, and particularly I think young people who enter the profession perhaps have a different cultural sense about what should be worn to work. I think sometimes the leading criteria is comfort, and so I know from my experience in working with student teachers, one of the things that we constantly remind new teachers is you don't wear for example, wear T-shirts with questionable slogans on them. Or you don't wear particularly low-cut kinds of dresses. But these are things that are very, very difficult to legislate, and I think oftentimes they're best handled on an individual basis where the principal, sits down with that teacher and says, there's probably a few issues of etiquette that we have to talk about here. Dress code is adequate.
And, got,
but
Going to have
difficult.
To run. Okay. It is difficult, isn't
really
it?
Really walking the line.
All right. Dr. Bob Hendricks, thank you very much for being with us.
Nice talking to you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Hendricks with us once a month talking about education. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by our friends at Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. I always tell people, Culligan's become my favorite bottled water, and the reason is it just simply tastes better. Coming up at 4 o'clock, it's the John C. Scott Show. John is really the dean of local talk in this community. He is an institution, the legendary John C. Scott Show at 4. Then tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, right here on KVOI, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. And then, of course, at 12:04, I will be back with the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.